right. I only have two announcements. There'll only be two announcements today, as requested by Carl. The first one, no applause. So you already messed that one up. But thank you, Sheila, for that. And we have wonderful musicians here with us today, and we're so very thankful for you making our lives more beautiful on this Palm Sunday. We welcome all those online as well. So no applause as the choir sings their cantata that they've been working very hard on. Make applause in your heart, send prayers of thanksgiving for that gift heavenward, and that's good. And then after the Passion reading, near the end of the service, there'll be a rather long Passion reading. After that reading, we will move into an instrumental, All Glory,
O Sacred Head.
O Sacred Head. And as O Sacred Head is being played, you'll see the words, but we're not going to sing. This is a time for meditation. So I think with that, if you follow along the bulletin, follow along the projections, that I think we're all going to do just fine this morning. A joy to be together. Thank you for coming out. And you're going to remain seated at the beginning. I'll tell you when to stand up, but your focus will be down from the Mount of Olives. Morning begins, looking down from the Mount of Olives toward the holy city of Jerusalem. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Listen now to Matthew 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David." I would invite you to rise and join the procession, a Palm Sunday parade, as we sing our opening hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
Thank you.
continue the responsive reading, the Christ hymn from Philippians 2. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited.
He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave.
Being born in human likeness.
And being found in human form, he humbled himself.
And became obedient to the point of death.
Even death on the cross.
Therefore, God also highly exalted him.
And gave him the name that is above every other name.
So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth.
And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
The parade continues. All glory, Lord and honor. Gracious and merciful God, your endless love for the human race brought our Lord Jesus to this earth. In Mary's womb, he took on frail flesh. He was nurtured by his family and his community. He knew joy and sorrow. As a rabbi, he modeled the Christian life for us, living, loving, and dying for our salvation. Be with us now as we enter the darkness of Holy Week. Be with us in the dark places of our lives. Comfort us with your presence. Give us strength and hope. We offer our prayers in a Good Friday world, waiting for the promised joy of Easter. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Imagine, if you will, Jesus and his disciples walking dusty roads from that one village to the next, where there were lame people and blind people that Jesus would heal, and then crowds would gather to hear him teach. Then, on the way, Jesus would have all kinds of conversations with his disciples, trying to help them understand his mission and his dream for the world. And all the way, they were heading for Jerusalem. On Palm Sunday, we celebrate what is often called Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We imagine that the focus of the whole city was on Jesus and that they knew what they were celebrating. The reality is that possibly millions of pilgrims were flooding in for the Passover, and Jesus may not have been the center of attention. It was his small band of followers who, in excited anticipation, imagined they were part of a royal procession and that Jesus would become king. Jesus let them treat him as royalty, even as he arrived on a donkey. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey. But deep in his heart, Jesus knew that this was also like a funeral procession or a walk down death row. Let us enter the city of God today and shout Hosanna to our King. Let us join the walk toward freedom and follow Jesus' path to wholeness. Let our hearts ache for justice and mercy and weep for peace and freedom. Let us turn our backs on the powers that grasp for control and follow the one who brings life. Let us walk in solidarity with the abandoned and oppressed and welcome the broken and the sick. Let us touch and see as God draws near. Today, let us spread before Jesus' feet, not garments or soulless olive branches which delight the eye for an hour and then wither, but ourselves, our souls clothed in his grace. Let us join the song, "Beloved, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord."
Oh,
Jesus entered Jerusalem, cleansed the temple, amazed and infuriated the elders, the scribes, and the Pharisees. He told many parables and gave the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus denounced the scribes and Pharisees. Do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. They lock people out of the kingdom of heaven. They tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and neglect the matters of justice, mercy, and faith. It is these they ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. They strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Jesus walked in Jerusalem and told the disciples of the plot to kill him. He took was one step closer to his death.
He kept on walking.
He knew that before he died, he would have to confront the center of religious power, those who used God's name to manipulate and control and oppress.
He kept on walking.
He knew that he would be betrayed to death by one of his friends and companions on the road.
He kept on walking.
He knew that he would be falsely tried by a corrupt and unjust legal system.
He kept on walking.
He knew his dearest and closest friends would fail him, abandon him, deny him, and struggle to believe in him.
He kept on walking.
Thank you.
down that Palm Sunday road on a Sunday, we find ourselves now on a Thursday, gathered at a table that welcomed our parents and grandparents, a table that welcomes us this day. It is Thursday night in Holy Week. It is the night in which he was betrayed. And Jesus is dining with his disciples, those who were about to leave him alone to face the night. On this evening, he took the bread and gave thanks. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." As often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, Jesus Christ has promised to be present with us. Let us pray now as he taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is not a Lutheran table. This is the Lord's table. All are welcome. It matters not where your journey has taken you or if you've ever worshiped with us before. By the invitation of Jesus, you're invited to come. may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you now and always in God's grace.
Jesus knew he would be flogged and tortured almost beyond what he could physically bear. He knew his mother's heart and the hearts of those who loved him would be broken. He knew he would suffer an agonizing death and face the greatest confusion and darkness he had ever known.
To
Jesus knew that when all of it was through, he would return to the one from whom he came, the one who is perfect love. When we think of Jesus and the way of the cross, with each step, he was identifying more deeply with us, with all of us, especially the most broken parts of ourselves and of our communities. He was identifying with all the pain and suffering and despair of a broken and lost humanity. He was identifying with all the oppressed and downtrodden ones. And he invites us to pick up our cross and take this path, the way of the cross. He invites us to walk in solidarity with others who are forced to walk a path of suffering, humiliation, and death. He invites us to know our own weakness and brokenness and not be afraid to keep walking.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Peter said to him, "Even if all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, Jesus went away for a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Now the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Look, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him. Was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the high priest and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will die by the sword. Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as though I were a rebel? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scripture of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At least two came forward and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it up again in 3 days." The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore at his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was standing outside in the courtyard. A female servant came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." When he went out to the porch, another female servant saw him and said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little while later, the bystanders came up to Peter and said, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse and swore an oath, saying, "I do not know the man." And that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Indestructible. He was known as the Iron Horse. His power, his prowess on the baseball field, nearly unparalleled, except for that of his teammate, Babe Ruth. But Lou Gehrig possessed something that Babe Ruth did not. Lou Gehrig had endurance. Endurance that seemed to defy his humanity. He would play baseball for the New York Yankees, never missing a single game over 17 seasons, a streak of 2,130 games. No one had ever done that before. And then he was afflicted. In the prime of his life, his superpowers began to diminish, slowly and then dramatically on the field and off the field. He now seemed human. It was on his 36th birthday that he received the diagnosis. He had been afflicted with a degenerative, rare muscle disease known as ALS. ALS, in common parlance, would come to be known as Lou Gehrig's disease, a brutal disease that would rob the iron horse of his invincibility. Slowly, each day, he lost more control. His humanity, his frail humanity, had revealed that this iron horse was not superhuman at all. He was more like us than we ever could have imagined. 2 years after his diagnosis, the iron horse was dead, dead at the age of 37. The flags in New York City were lowered to half-mast. The flags at every Major League Baseball stadium in the United States flew at half-mast. His iconic number 4 uniform would be the first number retired in Major League Baseball. In fact, it would be the first number retired in sports history. Time. Time respects no man or woman. In the final days of his life, the rabbi from the Galilee, the miracle worker Jesus, was uncovered. His humanity was revealed. His frailty was exposed. He was not a superhero. He was one of us. In the village of Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, Jesus would stand at the graveside of his dear friend Lazarus. Lazarus struck down like Gehrig in the prime of his life. It was in this context that we find the shortest verse in the Bible. Two words. Jesus wept. His tears, a testimony to shared love, to grief beyond words. His tears mingled with ours, railing against our humanity. Shortly after that encounter with death, Jesus faced his own. Before his arrest, still living in guarded freedom, surrounded by his friends, he contemplated the fate that was before him, saying, "My soul is troubled." At the conclusion of his Last Supper with his friends, Jesus and his disciples walked out of the city, down through the Kidron Valley, up to the Mount of Olives, to the garden called Gethsemane. The shadow of the cross was before him now. Torture and chaos were about to rule. It was there, in the garden, that Jesus prayed for another way. It was there that he lifted up his hopes to heaven, saying, "Take this cup from me. I do not wish to suffer," and died. And as he prayed, sweat became mingled with his blood, his tears laced with grief, his broken humanity on display. Holy Week will lead us to the cross. It always does. The cross of Good Friday, the symbol of Roman execution, the symbol of death. The cross bears witness to the fate of those who oppress, who oppose the empire. The shadow of his cross is now before us as we gaze upon the pages of history chronicled in the biblical story. The shadow of our cross is before us as we take inventory of our broken lives, as we realize that our days too are numbered. A few weeks, a few months, a few years, the sand in the hourglass of our lives is slipping away. Time. Time respects no man or woman. On the cross, Jesus spoke few words. His body broken, his energy consumed with dying, he looked heavenward and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Here we see his humanity. There are no invincible superheroes in this world. His frailty is on display. Soon he would give up his spirit. Consider now the signs of our humanity. as they are apparent in Jesus. Jesus wept. Now my soul is troubled. Take this cup from me. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the shared cry of our humanity. On this Palm Sunday, and every Sunday, I gaze out from this pulpit, and I see you. I see you out there carrying heavy burdens, the heavy burdens of being human, tears barely held at bay behind a tortured smile. I see you as you struggle with your humanity. I see you broken from broken vows and impending divorce. I see you as your grandchild enters rehab. I see you as you juggle your finances, trying to figure out how to pay your bills. I see you lost and lonely after the death of your husband. I see you as you grieve that child who no longer wants to talk to you. I see you as you lose your independence, giving up your car keys, and waiting for the latest series of medical test results. I see you as you weep, your troubled soul on display, praying that God will take this cup, this burden, this illness, this loneliness from you. I see you shaking your fist to heaven, joining the human chorus, my God, why? Why do I suffer so? Why do my prayers go unanswered? This is not what you planned, is it? You never thought you'd find yourself in this place, did you? Fairy tales are just that. There are no charmed lives. There are no superheroes. Time respects no one. I see you, but of ultimate consequence, God sees you. You are seen. You are heard. You are precious. You are loved. You are forgiven. You are not alone. In the darkest days of our lives, in the darkness of this Holy Week, we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, though our world is warming, though our democracy is in peril, when wars and rumors of wars fill the news cycle, we do not lose heart. And when doubt plagues us, when we are not sure that we even believe in God, we are reminded that even if we do not believe in God, God still believes in us. And that is enough. How do we find hope when there is no hope? Sometimes we just need to hang on. There were 12 who left Jesus alone in the garden of his betrayal. There were 12 who forsook him and fled without hope into the darkness of shame and loss. There were 12. 11 would hang on. 11 would wait in the darkness for the first light of a new day. And 11 would see Easter. It is always darkest before the dawn. He was called the Iron Horse, indestructible, forever young. And then the illusion of invincibility was removed, and he was human like the rest of us. He stood at the microphone and said, "Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth." And a nation wept, and the hearts of Americans were troubled. The people prayed for a cure. My God, why? Why Lou Gehrig? Why now? Why? And Peter went out into the darkness and wept bitterly. No one escapes our humanity. No one escapes the darkness. No one escapes Holy Week. Hold on. Hold on. Easter is coming. I would invite you to stand as we lift our hearts to God in prayer. Sandy's going to lead us in the prayers. We have a sung response. We sing that now, and after each petition, we return to the sung response. Let us pray.
God, my God, why have you forsaken me? From the darkest places of our lives and the darkest places of our world, we call to you. God, why have you forsaken me? From the foot of the cross to the graveside of our Lord, we call to you. My God, why have you forsaken me? Give us the strength, Lord, to venture through the darkness as our parched souls thirst for the first light of Easter. We wait, we wait, we wait, even as we call to you. Into your hands we commend our spirits. Amen.
Amen.
You are seen, you are heard. May God bless you. Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.